Welcome to the Dragon's Floaty Cast. Episode, like, I don't know. Let's call it 40.
4 or 5, I don't know.
I'm going to call it 40.
Episode 40.
You spilled my tea!
P-H-O-U-R-D.
Well, at least I didn't spill it on you. I spilled it on myself.
T.
You didn't even spill it on you. You spilled I-E-Y. It on the ground.
I did spill it on me. It hurts.
That's what you get for spilling tea.
All right, what is this here? This seems like a premium tea.
Premium?
Yes.
Premium tea.
This?
Ooh, it smells wonderful.
I know last week we said it was going to be Ravenclaw, but I had to run out of the house, couldn't find it, so I grabbed instead Hufflepuff Herbology.
I think the H is silent in at least Herbology, I think.
Yep, Hufflepuff
Depends
Herbology.
Depends on what country you're from.
Hufflepuff Herbology. How's that?
What country do you from? It depends on how you spell it. How you pronounce it.
Well, Hufflepuff is probably from Africa because the whole hippo thing.
They're not a hippo. Hufflepuffs are not hippos.
He does not know.
You do not know, do we?
The fact that it was a cosplay death like 2 days after that meme came out is just insane.
I think that was supposed to be regular Knuckles.
Then he just modified
Wait,
it.
Oh man, this is so bad. I can't wear it. Oh.
Just
he probably got to the convention not knowing about that meme because he just had been working on it nonstop and someone goes, do you know the way? Excuse me, my brother? That thing blew up. Like, I haven't seen anything blow up that big in a while.
It's that was also fast. And also in, like, not an obscure, but, like, VR chat is, like, a kind of niche thing.
So, TLDR, we're drinking meme tea.
No, we're not.
We got
we're
through,
not.
Like, one we sentence just, of Irv, and it's just like, do you know the way? Yes, just, I do, my brother.
We just decided that we're going to meme it up today.
I guess so. I also like the fact that I'm not sure how, but they said they're going to ban that meme. But
they're going to try. Oh, the one site did.
Good luck.
They're still allowing pedophiles to run around and basically make out with kids.
Yeah, but that's different, okay? Yeah. You're ignorant.
That's ignorant.
Yeah, this is racist.
Tolerance, Julian. Okay, we can't do last week again.
Okay.
What tea is this?
It's meme tea.
Hufflepuff Herbology.
Just fills
it
me
is
with
an
meme.
Oolong tea, unflavored, got a very earthly taste to it.
Unflavored earthly. Meaning that it doesn't have, like, it's not
world.
Scented. They didn't put flowers all around it as they were processing
it.
It's
like a flavor, but
put
it's not
juice
like,
in it. Yeah.
It's not fancy flavor.
It's tea
not
flavored.
Like, you know, raspberry or something.
It's a tea man's drink.
Yeah. And so next week will be the last podcast before we leave for Houston. And then we'll have Ravenclaw Riddle to finish it all out. Then we can have a big discussion about out of the, I guess, five because of well, the beer. Which ones do we like the most and all of that stuff? Yada, yada, yada. Right. So, in terms of news stuff, how much news we got today, Sir Nicholas?
Well, I'm going to piggyback off of Houston real quick first with the butterbeer. We're in a duel.
Oh,
yeah!
We have a duel.
Like,
is it a wizard's duel?
I guess it has to be. I think, you know, it's formally called a Butterbeer duel at, what, 4 p.m. or something?
Yes, on Saturday.
Yeah, I didn't think it would... it kind of escalated.
Yes, it did.
It's now an official sanctioned event.
Yeah, no kidding. We still have no idea how to do that.
Where can I buy water balloons?
The same place you buy regular balloons. at the party store. But, who was it that said, we got a butterbeer tea, you got a butterbeer tea?
It was you.
Yeah, it was me who specifically said, like they have one, so do we.
You came
a challenge.
At them really aggressively and were like, oh, ours, you've got one.
We've got one, too.
Ours is better, though. And then they're like, is that a...
I'm the one who screamed challenge, and one of the organizers is like, you know, we could set this up. Like,
oh, that, I thought that was the people from the.
Yeah, because they said they specifically store. Like, is this a duel or something like that? They just went right
yeah.
to like
18th
century jargon. I'm like, sure, yeah, let's see a duel. That's exactly what we were saying.
Let's find out.
Okay,
we should just show up. We gotta find. Oops, we gotta find samurai
armor.
That was
my hat.
It's okay. We gotta find
my
samurai.
Hat.
We gotta find samurai armor and show up like we heard a duel.
No. You just need a single glove that you can slap in their face and throw it on the ground.
I'm bringing my cape of justice, so there you go. Nothing else will be needed. I'm not even sure how. Like, do we win something if we win this duel?
Honor, glory. Glory.
And most likely, people will buy our tea.
That
if
too.
You know. Like, if that's the one that wins out the taste contest.
It's the last day, like, right before the end, so...
No, it's not. Good.
Saturday. The first day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right before the end.
I thought it was Sunday.
No.
And you know that if we win, we're going to be hanging winner of the Butterbeer competition.
Yes.
Right by our, you know, 1950s. Butterbeer, the classic drink.
yeah. That'll be a makeshift sign.
Oh yeah, I will erase our entire whiteboard and just, you know, decorate that all night long with winner of the 2018 Butterbeer competition. Not gonna talk about how many people were in this.
Nope, the person who
world's best.
Officially.
You know what's funny? So throughout this whole thing, the one who I was talking to is one of the organizers for this thing. And the tea company that was announced, I don't see them making a single post. So I really hope they are aware.
We can win by default.
We can win by default.
Let's make the sign, guys. They didn't show up. Oh, or we can I'll represent them. I'll put on a fake hat, and I'll show up with like a garbage flavored tea.
What is this? What kind of fake hat? Like,
it'll say their name on it.
Is this just like a little piece of cardboard that says, like,
yes.
Instead of press, it says Enemy Tea Company?
Yes, it says Enemy
Tea
Company.
They're
and
enemies.
I'll cross off Enemy and write in their name.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I'll wear, like, a
sash. Once we figure out their name, you cross out Enemy and write.
Actually, this actually might be what I just said. So they're only coming in for Sunday from Colorado.
Yes, we win, guys! We win! All right,
official best butterbeer tea of the world declared.
I mean, as long as I win.
Okay, well, all right then.
Yay!
So, this news has changed very quickly from we have a challenge to we are the victors. You were here, folks. You heard it here first, and so did we.
Breaking news.
That's how powerful we are. Just within the podcast, we win this thing.
We won the contest just before it even happened.
Yeah. Did anybody else watch the Futurama episode with Leela's teacher, her Japanese little kung fu teacher?
Yes.
With the robot battles?
The gender bender.
Yeah. You don't remember that?
No.
He's just like, oh, you want to fight? I win. You want to fight again? Rematch. Fine. I win again.
Because he has the will of the warrior.
We're so strong.
Yeah. So, Mr. Nick. Oh, by the way, I'm the tea man. That's Nick, the tea fellow. And we got up there, John, the tea guy.
Tea guy. Your tea guy.
So, Mr. Tea fellow, what type of new stuff do we have today?
Well, why don't you start it off with, because I think you've been following it more than me, which was very little. Fighters.
Ah, yes. The Fighters beta was this weekend. And, just like the Dragon Ball Z episode, there was very little fighting. it's a joke, but yeah, their servers were just terrible.
And lots of screaming.
Lots of screaming. The freeze of 5 minutes for when the servers were going to be back up.
As usual, why haven't they learned?
I don't
know. How did they not learn?
What was the last big game in which...
Xenoverse 2?
I think
Wait, did Dark Souls 3 come out before or after that?
Before. Way before.
Because that went fine.
No, there was another big game in which people went, how did you expect this to not blow up?
Pokemon Go?
Pokemon?
No.
No. It's like on the tip of my tongue as well.
Neo's beta went fine. That was Bandai Namco.
No, it was something Dragon Ball related, I think.
Oh. Well, Xenoverse 2 was the last thing that I know of that had multiplayer.
I don't remember. Well, there was the two-parted episode with Crunchyroll, but that was not a game.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
No, specifically that's a just, game.
There's also the Vegito episode. By the way, that went nowhere. Like, everyone freaked out about Vegeta. The site was down. Everyone was, like, ramping up. There were, like, six versions of, get in the meme generator. The episode's about to come on. And then the episode happened, and silence. And then this next episode where he got a new form, everyone knew about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later, but that was the worst, like, power-up ever.
And then nobody said, like, it's just silence across the Z-verse. That's a cool board you got there, by the way, Nick.
I'm gonna slap you both.
That? Yeah. The fight stick?
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, so tune in for the second infusion later on when I get to slap around John and Nick for being heathens.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the Xenoverse beta, not the Xenoverse, the Fighters beta did not go off too well.
Neither did the Xenoverse beta.
Neither did Xenoverse beta. They gotta realize that
it's just the Dragon Ball games.
Yeah, it's just Dragon Ball games.
Weird.
You can slap
all on... All the other Bandai Namco games go fine. It's just Dragon Ball. That's weird.
Slap on Z to a pile of snow and Eskimos will want it. So, just, like, assume more than you expect. Because you know, even then, you'll still need to buy new servers.
Snow has over 50 forms in
that's
Eskimo
true.
Language.
Eskimos would know the difference, too.
Yeah.
And this is in contrast to, we just saw...
We haven't seen the snow's final form.
No, we haven't, that's
they
true.
They have. They know.
They know. They which know is why they surround themselves with the lesser snow.
They know the snow.
They know the snow. Gosh, now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh yeah, the Z name, the Dragon Ball Z logo, it's different than, as we just found out, the Gurren Lagann logo.
Oh yeah, this isn't really news, but... they in Japan, I'm assuming it's Japan only. They released like a Gurren Lagann clothing line, which they do pretty often. But for you know whatever anime, but it's usually
inspired by the anime.
This was just
same
like,
colors.
Here's what Kamina would look like if Kamina wore suits, which he would never wear. Here's Yoko in like a baseball jacket and a beanie, which
Might wear, but
the
like the Kamina
jacket too, kind of maybe I guess I could see her in that, but not really.
Look at the
it wasn't even like her colors or anything. It was white on white,
and hers also had black. I think
it had a skull,
and so black and white. Hers, you know, you would assume would be at least blue and red. Look at the design of Kamina. He's got, you know, no shirt. His skin fluctuates from, like, the whitest white to, like, the brownest brown. And then he's got the sunglasses on, you know, the bright colors.
He's got the most, like, vibrant color character design ever.
It was like a bleached gray.
His thing was like, here's this, like, bland...
Colorless
jacket. It's like a suit coat.
Oh, it was like
have fun wearing it for $500.
It looked like a very very light a light gray or a white that was in the shade, an afternoon shade. Like there was just, it was so you could not have done less with it.
Right.
It looked like one of John's joke manifested as a suit.
Except
his jokes are funny, and that suit was an insult.
My jokes fit the scenario airtight. Different scenario doesn't work at all. His didn't even fit him.
It was just like somebody came up with
a zoot suit.
With some designs and, you know, some random designs, and they're like, what can we slap a logo on to sell this for more?
And they could have
like,
chosen Z.
We haven't done Gurren Lagann for a while, so let's roll with that.
If it was Dragon Ball Z, it would have sold. Not Gurren Lagann.
Oh.
Yeah, they could have made it Bulma's dad's coat or something.
Yeah, Capsule Corp. Done.
Yeah.
On that note, Adidas, or
Adidas,
has teamed up with Dragon Ball Z to make Dragon Ball Z-inspired shoes. And I've needed new shoes since like 5 years ago, and so finally I have an excuse.
Oh, geez. You looking at the cell or the Frieza or the...
I'm looking at the cell, but I'm waiting to see the Vegeta design. Maybe we'll go with that instead.
Yeah, definitely. Not the Dragon Ball design?
No.
Why didn't they use the 4-star ball?
Which one did he use?
They used a 6 and I forget the other one, but it wasn't a 4.
Noobs.
Weird.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. I think it's because it represents humans. Like, that's they actually call it the human design.
Losers.
Why 6, though?
Oh, maybe...
How does that represent
the 6 dots on Krillin's forehead?
That's got to be it. I don't know. It's okay, two different balls.
Yeah, I mean, I can see
they had
that,
two chances.
Yeah. All right. So what other new stuff do we have that's actually...
Yeah, so there was the Fighters Beta.
That was your fashion.
Some other Fighters news, right? Wasn't there?
No.
I watched one of the people.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
How was there not more Fighters news?
They were a little bit distracted trying to get their service to work.
Speaking of Bandai Namco and stuff, Dark Souls is getting a remaster. You can finally play that because you can not complain about graphics or whatever.
Maybe. It's not so much graphics as it is just gameplay design and whatnot. And like more spells and weapons. It's kind of like... After I played Neverwinter Nights 2, I would have felt gimped to play Neverwinter Nights 1. You know what I mean?
Cause, yeah.
Like, so many choices, so many more spells, and like so many more everything. If they update all of that...
It had about the same amount of spells in 3. 2 had a lot more magic stuff.
It also had the whole Hex thing, which was interesting.
Yeah.
Not really worth it.
Magic-wise, between 1 and 3, the only difference I can think of is that, what's it called? Pyromancy actually scaled with your stats, but in 1, you had to upgrade your glove or your magic hand or whatever.
Your magic hand.
It is kind of ambiguous.
It's like hot.
Like most of Dark Souls, it's kind of vague. But yeah, so they're remastering it. And it's actually more than just a re-release, which is nice. So gameplay upgrades that they're having are they're doing the password system so that you can have your own little private world instead of anyone can just barge in.
Finally.
So that's nice. 6 players instead of 4 in multiplayer. And so this is interesting. They're using dedicated servers rather than peer-to-peer. So
interesting.
Lag has always been a really big problem.
Yes, it has.
And they're saying that this is going to fix that. But it's throwing one more... step into the works. So I would see that as slowing it down more than fixing it because there's one more connection in the line. Whereas with peer-to-peer, it's just both of you are... it's dependent on the two people's internet speeds, right?
Yeah.
So now it's dependent on player 1's speed, it's dependent on player 2's speed, and it's dependent on the server's speed. So, I don't really see how that's going to make it smoother, but...
I thought dedicated servers might help equalize that.
I'm not really sure. So, yeah. they say it will, but, I don't know. I'll believe them.
Since it's coming to the Switch, you can play it on the toilet.
Yeah, so, I'm very glad that they aren't going for, platform equality, which has always been a problem in a lot of AAA games.
And just like any other attempt at equality, all it does is bring the better people down.
Right.
AKA the PC
we were
master
just,
race.
We were talking about... I don't think we talked about it on the podcast, but...
The podquack?
The podcast. What games were that? Was it...
The
Watch Dogs was
Watch
a huge
Dogs,
one.
Definitely.
Where all you had to do... Like, you know, they were showing it off for a few years, and like this is this is going to be the next, like when like new consoles come out, this is going to be the king. It's gonna this is gonna be what sells the new consoles, and then it kind of got delayed for a bit, and then they didn't. Nobody really knew why it got delayed, and then it came out and it looked terrible, and the PC version came out too, and it was really buggy. For some reason. And then somebody looked in some files because...
That's what the people do.
That's what the people do on the PC. That's why we didn't get the Fighters beta on the PC. And so someone found a little variable that says toggle on E3 mode. And it was set to 0. And they set it to 1 just to see what happened. And look at that. Like magic. It looks way better. And no, there's no bugs. It there's no little micro stutter or lag or physics problems. What possible reason could have caused them to put that feature in?
Idiocy.
You know what
yes, in a way. But no. They just didn't want to show that the better version was clearly the PC version by far, and that the newest consoles couldn't handle it, even though they're just basically computers at this point. They're just custom little tiny computers.
Which we can use that to segue into the thing that the phone computer.
Oh yeah. But let me finish the Dark Souls stats. So for Xbox One and PS4, it's going to be 1080p, 60 FPS. That should have been pretty obvious.
Isn't 1080 like two generations by now?
Well, last generation, it was like some games could handle that, but, you know, it was like Tetris and stuff.
That sounds wonderful.
Like nothing... Tetris and glorious 1080p. Look at 60 that. Frames of Tetris per second.
I'd do it. Watch. Look at that Tetris block sweat.
look at it slowly move down, like inch by inch.
I can see the gravity.
Tetris is like one frame per 5 seconds or something.
real quick, I saw a video earlier this week of a guy trying to break a Tetris world record. And he didn't do it, but by accident, he broke another world record.
What?
He was trying to get a certain amount of points within a certain amount of time. And he didn't do that, but instead he got a different score of points of fastest time to reach this amount of points. So he's trying to get, like, I don't know, let's say 1 million points within, you know, 5 minutes. And he ended up getting the record for, like, 50,000 point, like... fastest time to get 50,000 points or something like that.
Right, right.
You realize that you like after the fact.
Like,
why is the chat shouting at me that, holy shit! How do you feel about that? Some guys are breaking world records by accident and we're just sitting here.
Fine.
I'm fine.
They could be playing.
They can break the Tetris world records.
I'm going to break the world record of the world.
They can sit there and break their Tetris records, and I'll sit here and imagine 1080p Tetris.
Well, you've got it. You can have 4K Tetris now. And you can have 4K Dark Souls if you have a PlayStation 4 Pro or an Xbox One X.
I have a brother that has that.
Is the Xbox One X, which is the dumbest name ever, is that out yet? I don't know.
Is that an Xbox 9?
Oh my god.
That's Xbox, that, Xbox 360, Xbox
that's
One.
That's really
Xbox
screwed my mind.
It's the fourth one. Unless they throw a Pro in there somewhere?
It's the 3.5.
So it's not that much better than...
It's the PS4 Pro of Xboxes.
I see. Nintendo Switch U coming soon.
Yeah, so... Oh.
Slightly bigger start button.
You know what? That's... No, because it... We talked about this before. The Wii U was the most confusing thing ever. Hmm. So if the Switch U came out, it would be a different console.
Mm-hmm.
But that... Like, that's even more confusing.
I would hope that it wouldn't be a different console. It is actually just an add-on, and everyone's like, no, I'm not getting this new console.
Oh, it just came out. I'm not getting a new thing. Or it's like the new 3DS. That's their name. It's just got a couple more buttons and a second stick, and it's a little bit faster, so it can run exactly one game that the others can't. Like, you go into the store and you're like, can I have a new 3DS? And you're like, you mean a new 3DS or the new 3DS? Yeah. Yes. Well, there's eight. You can get a non-used one.
Just ring me up for $600 and be done with it.
Anyway, PC, obviously 4K. And this is interesting. Better textures.
Ooh.
Because, of course, the PC will always reign king.
I hope they have a throw blanket somewhere in there. I don't know where that would go into Dark Souls, but what? I just hope that there's a throw blanket. You know, like those microfiber. Oh, that'd be nice.
Like to clean your glasses with?
No, the soft ones.
You just want a blanket in the game.
Not a blanket, not like a quilt, like a throw blanket, like those really soft ones.
Or it comes with the game.
I go to malls just to like look at these and then touch them. And it's one step closer if he's just walking through and there's a throw blanket, maybe on top of one of those mimic chest things. Maybe inside of one of them, it would be like a consolation prize. That's my hope. Don't dash my hopes.
Whatever.
Go back to your Dokkan battle.
And it's PC at 60 FPS. Though,
you need to leave up.
We'll see if we could get that 60 FPS and unlock those stupid console restraints and get that up to 144.
Ooh.
Is that even a thing?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
I thought like 60 FPS was like the maximum.
Well, if you're a peasant, yeah.
Well, I guess I am a video game peasant. I haven't even played Neo since I talked about it last, like, 3 weeks ago.
I haven't either.
I've never played it.
I've been busy doing tea stuff.
I've been busy watching videos.
I've been busy doing a lot of that kind of stuff, too. But get your phone out of here.
I've also been busy driving Uber. Definitely busy with that. But that's a story for it.
Here, this one. This video is just an audio. Can I play it for the audience? This is what I've been doing. Guess what instrument this is?
Vuvuzela?
No, good guess. It's playing right now.
Is it a butt?
No.
It's a saxophone.
No.
Is it one of those little, like, it's a keyboard that you play through your mouth?
Nope.
Oh, it's one of those things.
It's one of those things that I don't
know what
it's
called. Someone recreated the actual Toto video with these things. How incredible is this? This is my version of fading it out.
Oh, good work. How about I just turn you down with the knob instead?
I can talk louder. I'll still be louder than the T-Man.
We apologize to our audience.
And then, of course, Switch. Nintendo always comes last. 1080 at 30 FPS and handheld mode.
You know, you say
720
that.
At 30 FPS.
You say that, but in 30 years, there will be posts of, I finally have achieved my dream of getting one of these freaking consoles. Like, the things that will be released right now.
What?
Well, so for example, I've seen no less than three different posts of someone getting, like, Gen 1 Game Boys, and they're like, oh my god, I finally got one. Or, like, Game Boy Colors.
Well, the games are always good, but... Okay.
I haven't seen yet. Because it was the seventh generation.
The GameCube, I think, was the last one to be ahead of its time. And since then...
Well, the Wii... I mean, those motion things were a good idea. Everyone piggybacked off that.
Okay, well, they always have, like, innovative ideas. But the hardware itself is, like...
That
like
they
in
got
terms,
sued
in
for?
Terms, yeah, that they... Yeah. Like, everyone sues them. It's like, oh, hey, that's nice. I came up with that idea 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I thought, wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, they always have, like, an innovative idea. But the hardware itself, what the games are capable of showing is always behind everybody else. Like with this, it's like straight down the line, 1080, 1080, 1080, 60, 60, 60. This, it's 1080, 30 at best, and it can go below that. Of course, you can take it with you, and like that's a huge plus, but like, you know, a Vita isn't going to be able to run it at all. So that's a major plus. People are going to get it just for that, even though it's clearly the worst version on the list. So that's good.
It's like the Picasso of gaming systems. Like, it comes in last, like, no one's getting it, and then later after, like, it's long dead, generations pass. Oh, man, look at that. The Switch, man. This is great.
Like I said, it's always got some cool gimmicks and some nice things, but they age as well as their counterparts. So
more better,
you know,
than that, because I'm talking
better.
Yeah, oh yeah, because like I've never seen anyone like, oh man, I finally got that PS1.
Oh, well, that has a bunch of good games.
It is good games, but I've never seen
anyone...
It's got
Final Fantasy VII,
got plenty, I just don't see people posting it.
The thing about that is, you don't need to, because they're all on digital stores.
Exactly. And I think you can find most of the Game Boys on that, too. But anyways, like, I'm just saying, I don't see anybody posting, like, oh my gosh, I finally got it, guys. And, like, with these old, you know, handhelds, I'm just like, you know we have... better, like, updated versions of all those games.
You have
now.
It on your phone.
That's true.
on my T83 calculator, I've got those games now.
Yeah, you're right. a huge factor of that is nostalgia.
What do they have now? TI-83s when we were kids. Are they up to, like, 100 yet?
No, but they are, like, they've got color screens and animation and stuff.
Every color's a different...
Not, like, good representative animation, but it is... It can move.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
So that's Dark Souls.
We're going to talk about the phone computer.
Looking forward to Dark Souls.
Okay.
We will. I'm just finishing Dark Souls because I'm looking forward to that, and you should too. You should play it.
When does it come out?
March.
Ahead into the future.
Soon. I think it's March.
I've got Fighters, Soul Calibur, and Dynasty Warriors 9.
I will beat anybody here in Soul Calibur.
I believe you.
Oh, yeah.
That is creepy ass.
A couple months.
The hoodie.
Oh, this hoodie. It's a lion.
So
and there's its tongue is licking its nose, and the tongue is coming out like
a little low.
Yeah.
Use your imagination.
It's like where your pass through pocket would be.
It's below the belly
looks
button.
Like it's coming from its crotch.
Uh-huh.
There was a very heavy person that was wearing a similarly minded shirt. And it looked as though it was in 3D. You're welcome.
What else you got? So,
hey, there it is!
Your laptop computer.
Yeah,
phone
tell
thing.
Us about it, T-Man.
This is one of those things I've been expecting for a long time. I'm glad it's finally here.
This is true.
Just making the cell phone be, you know, connected to a laptop like that. I don't know when we're going to be powerful enough.
Speaking of Gurren Lagann.
No.
What?
This is like the opposite of the Switch.
And I'm kind of excited for that, because there's a lot of things I think that we can do in the future with phones, especially since finally we're going to get a 5G at the end of this year.
Ooh.
And the expectations for that is
what does that
huge.
Even mean?
Next, it's the fifth generation.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I know, but what does that even mean at
this
point?
It means it's going to be faster and... probably more reliable.
Near instantaneous downloads.
Ooh.
So think of it like this. 3G, we were able to kind of use email. 4G is what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
Think of all of that gap. Same amount.
I'll be able to replay my dreams.
Pretty much. I mean, you can practically, with 5G, you...
There's so much wrong with it. I can't even begin to correct you guys. Just keep talking.
And, God, I don't remember the specifics, but I looked up the technology.
You clearly
and, like,
don't.
And, like, all, like, the little, like, nuances of how to, like, make, like how they set up the towers and how calls get received and sent.
It will open my chakras.
One of the things is that with phone calls, you cannot talk and listen at the same time. With the way the signals are sent. Only one at a time happens. With 5G, they should be able to do both. Which means much clearer talking, much less drop calls, and all of that.
Anyway.
They have to do a lot of updates for the towers and whatnot, but yeah.
We can look up, you know, 5G, but so this is operating off of a 5G phone.
Not yet, no.
No.
This is basically a tech demo. It doesn't even exist yet.
Yeah. But by the time it does, if it comes out at the same time as prototype. 5G, it'll be beautiful.
Yeah, so this laptop, I mean, I from what I could see, because I wasn't in a place where I could listen to it, they have an interface music on your phone, and it can be a second display monitor, which is cool. It operates as your touchpad, which is also cool.
And it the laptop just... itself is kind of a shell, and it's got a second battery and a hard drive, and then you plug your phone in to where your mouse pad would be.
I'm expecting at some point for your phone to be able to just straight up Bluetooth connect to your TV, and you have like another controller that can hook up with the phone.
That you can do that now.
No.
You can do that now, but not nearly enough control.
Yeah. But I mean like a PS4 type of controller. Like Bluetooth it up to the phone, which is Bluetooth it up to TV.
You and mean just like play that games. Game that we played?
What game?
Not Until Dawn.
Oh, no, because that was more like a touchscreen type of thing. I was talking about the actual controller. And playing, you know, like Fighters. Just have Fighters on your phone. So that way, just anytime you buy a TV, just do that and whip out your controller from your pocket, and boom.
The Vita actually has something kind of like that. That is the most underrated handheld console ever. It can do so much stuff, and like it gets no credit just because the 3DS was so good. Like its game selection was so good, and Vita doesn't have nearly as much of a good selection. Its picture quality is amazing, and so what made me think of that was you can basically do that. You can play, like, you can start up a PS4, and you can use your Vita as a screen, and the thing itself as a controller. So you can play PS4 games on a Vita if you're within range.
Interesting.
Yeah. Though there's not enough buttons, so, like, you have to use the touch... Like, there's a back touchpad on it, so you have to use the back touchpad as extra buttons, so it's kind of awkward sometimes, depending on the game.
Yeah.
That was a pretty cool... I mean, that was a pretty cool demo.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any more news stuff.
Oh. Well,
so
there's news-ish stuff.
News-ish.
Let's see. Oh, Detective Pikachu is finally coming stateside.
Yeah, with the knockoff Danny DeVito, but
knockoff Danny DeVito is
with the Danny DeVito impersonator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Like they heard the news. Danny DeVito heard the news. I don't know if they ever tried to contact him or if talks happened, but they clearly knew what was going on. So
Danny DeVito missed an opportunity to like just increase his fan base by like 1,000-fold.
Yeah.
Like I have no idea.
I don't know if that's true because the people that wanted him in the game, because they were fans of him.
No, they wanted him in the game because Pikachu's voice with that would be hilarious.
Right, but it's...
Not because they were fans of Dan DeVito, just because the voice would just been hilarious. I mean, I can't think of a single...
I think they were Always Sunny fans that thought, like, wouldn't it be funny if, it's gonna be a real classy affair was in there.
Uh-huh. Which, you know, would have been perfect. The only thing I think that he's been in is Always Sunny and that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's it. I don't know what else.
I always think of him as the Penguin.
Oh, yeah.
he's also been in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He's been in a ton of movies.
Yeah, no,
he's
but
been
I don't
in
care
so many him. Movies that you can't think of him is the problem.
Yeah. And I would have watched them all if he voiced this.
Would have watched them all if he would have been Pikachu. Hear that, Danny DeVito?
Gotta watch them all.
Gotta watch them all.
Gotta watch them all. Gotta watch them all.
And Hyoge Mono, the team manga show, is getting a live-action adaptation. So how much of that did you watch? Because I know you didn't finish it.
No, I only got up to, like, 5 episodes before life just swept me away.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit of a slow-paced thing, but I like
expected.
Yeah, I like the story, though. It does a really good job showcasing two sides of, let's say, Japanese living. One is, this took place in the Warring States period with Oda Nobunaga and all those people. One side is the main character whose name I don't remember.
We'll call him Hyoge.
Well, sure. He is a huge tea enthusiast. And he wants to learn from a master tea person. And all that you get into the tea house, he's got to crawl on his hands and knees through a hole to get to the tea house as a way of like being forced to be humble. And the tea master is trying to teach him the art of humility and just like...
Humility.
You know, tea is for everyone. Don't let your ego overtake, you know, blah, 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 all that type of Zen stuff. The other side is Oda Nobunaga, which is Mr., you know, ambition and gloriousness and like... Look at how colorful and awesome life can be. You know, experience it to, like, the fullest extent. Take over the world type of stuff. And so, the main character is like a... Not an assistant, but he's... He's one of the right-hand men for Nobunaga. Someone who he listens to. Part of the council. And so, he's got to live in that nice little schism of, you know, basic humility, crawling on the ground, and helping take over the world. He is a good character because he is flawed in ways you can expect, especially for that time. Sometimes he does things he really should not have, but you can understand why he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it was enjoyable. I gotta get back to watching that.
And so do you.
And so do you. Because there's not enough tea anime / manga.
Which is kind of surprising considering the amount of, like, specifically niche stuff.
Yeah, and like the other stuff I found, T is more of like a backdrop to push like a romance plot.
And then lastly, just to round off the news-ish stuff, watch Welcome to Magic Tavern. And anyways, let's go to the next thing.
that was so short and like vague.
Yeah, gotta watch it to find out.
Okay.
You'll thank me later. Thank me later.
That's the end of
After
your
watching
pitch.
Code Geass... Watch Welcome to Magic Tavern. Definitely, yeah.
So we have a bit of a topic we want to discuss. I think we talked about it last week. Like, we talked about how we were going to talk about it.
Okay, well, before we get onto
that,
we talked about...
God damn it, Nick. It's better to be important.
Topic cancel. We talked a few weeks ago about whether it was better to binge or watch a show.
Uh-huh.
No choice. Gun to your head. You get to binge it, Americans.
Filthy Americans.
So basically every country except America is getting Violet Evergarden, which is a show premiering this season. They are getting it weekly. We don't get it weekly. We only get it when it's done.
For one day.
For one day.
Gun to your head, huh, Nick? I mean, senpai?
So UK, Canada, most of Europe, they all have it. They're getting it weekly. Japan has it. That's crazy. Why? That doesn't make sense. Their excuse is that it's America has a binge culture, so they aren't releasing it. They aren't releasing it here until it's all done.
Interesting.
That is just
beautiful. And the rest get it because.
So what I'm going to do is
statistics.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to pirate it.
Yep, done. I paid for Netflix. It's I've been watching it. Screw you guys.
Man, good job, guys. You didn't think that went through, did you? If they want to binge it, they could just wait. If they can't wait and they want to watch it, well, then you're watching it. Gah.
Like, wow, what a terrible business decision. America has a binge culture, so the rest of the world gets it except you guys. I wonder why so many people are pirating that.
God, these people gotta figure out ways to, like, let us give them our fucking money.
Right, it's like, right?
Like, it's sometimes mind-boggling. You know, because of this, you know, business I'm in, I need to keep tabs on, like, what other businesses are doing and whatnot, how they're planning, why they're thinking it. And you'd be amazed at just how often you realize that these people have no idea what the fuck they're doing.
I'll give you one. So there's some games that don't get localized here, but they get localized in Southeast Asia where English is like a dominant language. So they get an English release, but we don't get an English release because of licensing stuff. So you can import it and get an English version, but they don't release it here because reasons. And a lot of times, like one of those games, I was Gundam Breaker 3, which I got, and it was like $80 or something. And a lot of those times, though, the reasons are... one of them I can think of was Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball 3 or something like that.
That's so hot.
Yeah, that's the reason, because they didn't think that it was a good time to release a game like that because of, you know, SJW culture.
Spoiler alert, I actually find those women to be slightly unattractive.
I find that game to be useless.
I mean, even in a fight, it's just after a certain point, it's like...
Well, it's not
like
even a fighting game.
You build tits and you build things around the tits.
It's not even a fighting game. It's a,
I know,
a fan service game.
But I mean, just the whole... Was it Soul Calibur?
Dead or Alive.
Dead or Alive. Just the whole Dead or Alive... Like, even in the game... Even in the fighting game...
Dead or Alive game, Beach Volleyball.
Yeah. I know, I know. I'm saying,
there's like, very little volleyball involved.
Yeah. God. It's after a certain point, it's like... I need more substance than just bouncing tits.
You know what it is? It's Mario Party without the party and without the Mario and mostly with more fan service.
Mostly?
With more fan service.
Oh, that's Slutty Peach.
I said without the Mario. Without the Mario characters.
Did you know that in Super Mario Bros. 64, if you... managed to unlock this camera, you can move around and you can see Peach's underwear.
Oh my god.
Risque. So, intros.
Yeah, we wanted to talk about how good intros can be. Mm-hmm. Or how good of a... Intros to anime can be a good sort of metric about... the overall tone of a show.
I will state this right now. You know the old saying, don't judge a book by its cover?
You can completely judge a book by its...
Yes, you can.
An anime by its cover.
Yeah, and books. It's a really bad saying, don't judge a book by its cover. I hate that saying. It's one of those things people keep saying so they think, oh, it's so poetic. No, it's bullshit. Judge a book by its damn cover.
Sometimes you can judge a book by its cover and be wrong.
All right, if I'm looking for...
But usually you're not.
Like
it's, that's why there's marketing departments.
like, I can almost understand what they're going for, but the way it always works out when people use that quote, it's something like, screw it, I'll just use the example, because I use this more often. If I'm looking for a cookbook, and I pick up a book, and it's like two dudes making out in the cupboard, like, you can't tell me don't judge a book by its cover. I'm going to put this thing down.
Wait, did you say that actually happened?
No, but it's the example I use a lot.
Oh.
Because a lot of times people tell me, don't judge book by its cover.
That's pretty homophobic, like, of you. You should read that cookbook.
Yeah. Like, that's usually the sentiment when they use that. Like, I know what I want. This is obviously not what it is. Don't judge book by its cover. No, I'm going to judge it. Bringing it back to intros, it works the same way with that.
Yeah, if the premise of a show is about a philosophical struggle between two rivals, and, you know, if it's Death Note, you know, and you get a cutesy J-pop song, turn that off. It's gonna be pretty trash.
You know, if I'm looking to watch something with my parents and I open up, like, Dokuro-chan, you know, the intro will tell me I should not watch this with my family.
In general, don't watch anime with your family.
In general.
We've known one family in total so far that could get it done. And they all go to anime conventions together.
Oh.
That family. Hi, family, if you're listening to us, comment. Say hi. We're lonely. In terms of intros that I feel do the best job, you said it's your golden...
No, he says that the golden. He doesn't say his.
Not mine, the. It's undeniable that Cruel Angel's Thesis is the best anime intro ever from Evangelion.
I don't care for it. I honestly don't. Then again, I've never seen Evangelion.
You've never seen Evangelion.
I know, but I've seen the intro. And the intro doesn't really get me excited or give me an idea of what's going on or anything of the sort.
It's been a chart-topping song for 20 years. Every, like, female singer in Japan has sung it at some point.
Well, it's a good song.
It's a good song. But the... well, you haven't seen the show, so it doesn't matter. But, like, the imagery works well too, and it's become a meme. Yeah. Like you can't get it any much more iconic than that.
It can even make Hitler look cute.
You're gonna have to explain that one to me.
Just go to YouTube and type in Evangelion intro Hitler.
Okay, then that's the meme.
Yes.
Okay.
It's hilarious. It's basically if Hitler had an anime, they just play that song, and they replace all the scenes with, like, Hitler's face, and like when, like, the words keep popping on the screen.
Yeah.
It's like Mein Kampf, the Reich, just keeps going and going.
Yeah, that's the meme.
That's the joke. For me, what I like to use as a gold standard is the second opening of a Naruto. For me, that one hits all of the right marks of how to get you excited. It's got a good, fast-paced song. The timing with the music is excellent. They got cool little scenes, like when everybody was rotating, showing the different teams.
Mm-hmm.
It managed to showcase a lot of the characters' personality traits just within a minute 30 seconds. It was showing a lot of scenes that, like, showed me just how much possibility that an arc was going to have. It had things where people were like, what the hell was that? Like with Orochimaru's eyes that suddenly popped up.
Yeah. Which,
like, maybe questioned.
He hadn't appeared at that point.
Yeah.
Right? That was like the Chunin exams.
Yes. So it was like things that make me wonder what's going on and make me excited for it. Like all of that stuff. Compared to like...
And it didn't openly show him. It was just like a glance of him.
Yeah. And comparing that to one of the... an intro was so bad, so I made like a 15-minute video on it. It was on one of the Sword Art Online,
of course,
like offshoots, like the one with the guns.
That's the second season, technically.
One of the things I remember from watching that video was them showcasing how there was a bad guy who was like in a mask, and you had no idea who it was, and it was supposed to be a big reveal when you found out who it was. But they gave it away in the intro.
Yeah, that's the worst.
So just like, you idiots, why would you do that? capitulate Orochi, like, oh, look at these, like, big eyes. Like, they just so happened to open when Sasuke showed up. Could that mean something? Ooh, symbolism, blah. As opposed to, I am the bad guy you will find out in 37 episodes. And you will be shocked.
Oh, what was it that, like, the intro changed with every episode as people kept getting introduced? It was JoJo season, or part 4.
Yeah, Naruto did that as well. Their third opening. They had, like, 3 different versions of it.
What?
The third opening of Naruto had, like, 3 different versions.
You mean the art?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
You know, because it began after the tuning exams. So it had one, like, not fully showcasing Itachi and the Kisame. Then it had one showcasing them. And then another one with Orochimaru because, you know, they're looking for Tsunade. And, like, she was in another one. Like, you know, it just kept adding on and on. An intro, it needs to do a few things. Number one, enough with the freaking girly J-pop stuff.
Yeah. I think that's an instant turnoff for me, at least.
Yeah. There was one ASEN, we were just heading towards it, listening to anime intros, and we could not tell when one stopped and another began.
Yeah, it was like one of those intro compilations.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the best intros of 2016, 17, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, is this a different song, or is this... I don't know. So you gotta... I know you're trying to save money, but by trying to save money, you're losing on money.
I don't know.
I don't think that makes it cheaper.
There's a lot of people that really like that sound.
Yeah.
Like, there was a birthday party.
No,
we're making...
it's the opposite.
Yeah.
It's weebs.
There was a birthday...
It's the opposite of noobs weebs?
Yes.
This was actually kind of interesting to me. There were two people holding their birthday party, presumably family members. I didn't get to meet them. I just was compiling the playlist. And the younger of the two, her playlist was primarily the Frozen soundtrack, with the exception of 2 songs from Moana. And
what?
Moana? The new, you know,
that?
How far I go.
I haven't seen it. It's basically
it's the Disney newest movie.
It's like a Polynesian princess.
Yeah.
And
so anyway, that was her whole playlist. And then the older of the two, her entire playlist was K and J pop, and it all sounded precisely the same. Mm-hmm. There were like 6 different artists, but there was more diversity in the Frozen soundtrack.
Ouch.
And as I was putting it on, the person
that
was hosting
sense
the party.
Because as you're telling a story, the mood changes and you're going to have a different sounds and moods and stuff.
Yes. I was saying it mostly for comedic effect, but yes.
I know, yeah.
So, Thank you, Nick. They loved that sound. And there were like 5 or 6 bands that were, presumably they had professional music videos. You know, I checked it out. And because I have to make sure everything is okay for 6, because it was a 6-year-old and a 13-year-old. I had to make sure the 6-year-olds could listen to it.
Yeah.
Well,
it was in another language. It's okay.
Yes. So I had to make sure all, if there was any English, it was all like table. So anyway, they all had very expensive looking music videos. So they were probably doing pretty well, is the point. But yeah, so for intros, I mean, I agree with that they should make you question things. The Dragon Ball Super intro right now has just lit the fan base is lit, and it lit the fan base. Like, every moment of that has been dissected, talked about, screamed about, and cherished. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, that did a really good job.
Da, 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 da,
yeah.
Da, da, da.
Yeah, it's the current one.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I didn't... Because I've been skipping them, so...
What?
If there's a new one, I didn't notice.
You know an intro is good when you don't skip it.
Yeah. And so... And that's another thing.
The problem with DBZ or Super is that there's, like, the previous time before...
Yep, I just
And then
ahead.
there's mm-hmm. the intro, and then there's previous time after.
Yeah.
So I just go to 4:30 every time.
Yeah. So... But it's a really good intro. It's catchy. It got people talking. I think a generally agreed upon gold standard in the community right now is the Brotherhood intro. I think it was the first one. It was the first or second one. But anyway,
yeah, those are pretty good.
The It was the first one, because when you first watch it, most people had already watched the original series. But even if you hadn't, you find out early on that the brothers did the human alchemy, and there's all this. So basically, the video shows this while there's a very pleasant song going on that starts off slow, and there's movement in the song that you can't get past. And it's like a compelling story. And at the beginning, it gives you their background, and then as you learn about the characters, there's just moments that echo in the show, and so like the show fills in the music, the intro fills in the show. It's so synergistic. It's really amazing.
Yeah, the Cowboy Bebop opening is kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah, because I mean, really, it's almost like modern art when you first watch it. It's just three, two, one, yeah. And then, oh, there's a thing, and it means nothing, and it doesn't reveal anything, but there's action, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's colors, and the colors, like, twist and invert.
And then, more importantly than those intros, was the third Code Geass intro.
I knew you were going to say
so, that. So, this one, the third Code Geass intro, for those of you that don't know, we got for 2 episodes. That's it. And it is catchy. The song is catchy.
It only had that intro for two
episodes? Maybe even 1 episode, but I'm pretty sure it was 2. But anyway, it was just on for 1. The lyrics are awesome. The lyrics translate to, "Only my unchecked power, fly from me without leaving." And it has the theme of the show in there, and the visuals are beautiful. And it's right when, it's the episode when they launch the rebellion and Lelouch goes out to meet, Suzaku on the island, and he has the showdown with Orange. Season? Yeah, it's the other intros. You know, they're very good. You should watch those as well, and they do a good job. Everything we've said and more. Watch Code Geass, then the Magic Tavern, and then and then you get to this episode, and you get this. And it's passionate, and I've listened to it on so many occasions. Yeah, exactly that one. And the background is reminiscent of the Geass. So you have this imagery of getting back to the root because you are, and it's perfect, and it doesn't overstay its welcome. Actually, matter of fact, it understayed. in my opinion,
just outside the window waving at you.
Yeah,
it ding dong
for
ditched.
2 episodes.
One or 2. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's
that's a waste of money.
I don't know about that. It's
an underutilization of funding.
Yeah, probably. But the song's great. It fits the mood and the theme, and I mean, it's just exactly what it needs to be in the exact right moment. And after watching that, because kind of it's a surprise, and it shows you new things are on the horizon, and you just. The episode to follow has just completely been abridged, and you're engaged, and that's what an intro should do. You know, all of a sudden you're emotionally invested. You might not even know why. It just it reached out on a couple different levels and got you involved in the show. It bridged from this ordinary world into the anime world. So, yeah.
So the reason I think that this is a good way of determining whether a show will be good or not is, what's the show called? A Place Further than the Universe?
Yes, yes.
I thought that was going to be a standard, like, cute girls doing cute girls things show. But I was like, well, this is kind of a weird premise, so I'll watch an episode. And then the intro started, and it wasn't boring J-pop. And it was an actual good song. So I completely judged it by that. And then it turned out to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues to be good.
Yes. That's coming up in the second fusion.
You know... Azumanga Daioh's intro does a really good job making go, wait, what the fuck is this? Which is just perfect for the show. Mm-hmm. Like, even the music, like,
yeah, it is. It's not that bad.
It's not bad, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's like off key and it's like...
Yeah, you did a great job at making it off key.
He was singing Pachelbel's Canon just now.
So, yeah, you got like anime people, which, you know, I'm sure producers are watching this glorious show.
Listening to.
Yeah. Or watching, you know, you're watching a single image for the whole 2 hours. Focus on those intros, because I have yet to find a show which has a generic intro but is good, and vice versa, that has a non-generic intro but ends up sucking.
An intro which doesn't meet the expectations, or a show that doesn't meet the expectations after you watch the intro.
Yes.
Yeah. It's bizarre how closely it's linked.
So, yeah. Judge a book by its cover.
Yeah. That's the moral of today's story.
Uh-huh. And speaking of stories, for the second infusion, we got plenty of stories of other shows.
Oh, yeah. So, without further ado, with further ado, you can email us questions and comments at tcast@thedragonstreasure.com. And with further ado, we'll talk about those shows in a couple seconds.
Welcome to the second infusion. I'm Hans.
I'm Dans.
I'm Nick.
Well, I've ruined the whole spiel.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should have gone over this beforehand instead of just you saying you're Hans.
What part of freeform jazz don't you understand?
The part where it's related to anything.
So, let's begin this with a show I watched last week. And then this week, episode 2 came out and turned out to be much better than the first one. Record of the Grand Crest War. We just watched it with Senor John. Nick watched it earlier the second time around. And so, what do you guys think?
I don't think the first episode was that bad. I don't think second was definitely better.
I don't think it was bad. It was just too much.
I even then, I don't think there's that much going on.
Sorry, you're smothering me, I guess.
Maybe.
No, I don't guess.
You don't? Yeah, I generally like these sort of medieval style worlds. I like the first opponent. How big of a trope is that, where the first villain you encounter in a new anime becomes your buddy friend?
Pretty often.
Yeah.
Usually it's sort of like rival buddy friend, but this guy's definitely not. Like, they've clearly established he's like,
you win, I guess. You're the way better person, and I didn't do it like that.
Yeah, I liked it because he, like, the way he did it was he was ready going into that to become the subordinate. Like, he was kind of going in to make sure he was, so going into it, he's just like, I want to make sure this guy's worthy for me to be the subordinate, otherwise he's going to be mine. Yeah. Like, it's this really kind of like, it's a very complex strategy, and I was really impressed, because they made him out to be kind of a simpleton.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. And well, I was pleased.
He did waste all of his ancestors' money, and
he gave it away.
Yeah. So basically,
well, he spent it.
No, he gave it away. That's what they said. He didn't waste it. He gave it away. Like people, I'm guessing.
Well, and also, I thought it was to get mercenaries and stuff.
Yeah,
no, that was after the fact.
That's what it was implied on.
But either way, he's generating a whole new era of value, so
yeah,
like he's now like the main character roughly tripled in size and power.
Pretty much before he had a horse,
right? Now he's got this band of mercenaries loyal to him and this guy loyal to him and a big crest. He's a baron.
Well, the mercenaries can only be loyal for so long.
That's true. So he's just they're gonna have to go out and do stuff now.
I want to see Mr. Ambition fight. Even Mr. I don't know what
Shadow,
called,
they
Shadow
called
Man
him.
Was like, I don't see any openings. I'm just going to wait.
And he's like, I'm going to surrender.
So I want to see him do things. And it shows that they're going to play at least somewhat with the idea of battlefield strategy and tactics.
Yeah.
Which most shows almost never do that. They do it in a very simplistic way. Like, make him look up! Hit him from below! We did it!
Yeah.
That's why the second episode was so much better.
Mm-hmm.
The first was a lot of, like, plot-splaining.
Yeah.
I like the cat.
Yes.
Yeah, the cat was good.
I give you permission. And, it, like, honestly, the more I think about the cat, the better it is done. Because everything from his introduction to this person, I do not like this person.
So cat-like.
Right! It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're on the eve of battle, and he's just like, don't mess up.
And then that nice little warrior lady, she looks like she's going to have a lot of weapons to use.
And a lot of... Yeah. She seems to be a polygamist or polyamorous, just love factory. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they still got a lot of stuff of the plots they still have to explain. Like those moving tattoos.
The world.
Yeah.
More like the plot.
I really appreciate that they're just... And this might annoy some people, but I like that they're leaving that a little bit open-ended. They're showing you already enough to that it's some sort of enhancement, some sort of biological enhancement for it seems right now for non-mages. Because the mages don't have them, right?
Well, it seems more like it's a magic, like a magic tattoo or something.
Yeah. And then when they're going to do something, it gets bigger.
Yeah. Or it activates.
Mm-hmm. And probably the biggest, baddest mage is probably going to have them, and they're going to be like, oh, he did the thing.
He's got 50 tattoos.
Yeah.
His entire body's a tattoo.
So, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I also liked the not explaining everything in a single episode.
Episode
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a huge problem. Like, sometimes I'll read a description of a show and it's like the people of the thing are doing stuff and the single chosen one becomes a person and a person fights a thing about stuff and
then one day
they're all things that do stuff for reasons because they're the ones who were chosen by the third emperor of the thing, and it's just like time you get to like why it's all about the background and like nothing has substance.
Yeah. Tolkien is still alive, he's just writing anime reviews.
Oh, the biggest conspiracy ever.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so aside from that good old stuff, we also got A Place Further Than the Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Cute.
It is cute.
Have you watched
all three?
All
yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, for some reason, I thought that the girl that sits in front of the main character in the classroom was going to be the fourth person. And I was kind of like, she's pretty reticent about this. She doesn't seem to want to have anything to do about this. And then she didn't.
Good observation.
Good job, Nick.
So, it's interesting that the fourth character still doesn't really want to have anything to do with it, but she's like, oh, but friendship, though.
This is going to... I predict this is going to be the most lesbian fanfiction-filled show since probably ever.
Coming soon to you. A Place Further Than the Universe. Explore the childhood drama of going to school, having a part-time job, wet dreams. And these are just the first three episodes. In order. So I really like the directions they're going because the first episode was what do you call it? Basically how the main character doesn't live up to her potential.
Uh-huh.
Like she's actually has some pretty wise thoughts for someone just out of junior high. Oh, no, she's in her second year of high school.
Yes.
First year, I think.
She's second. Like, realize...
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that journal was her first... What she wrote down in her first year. She's like, I'm in my second year of high school. I have not done this.
Are any of the others younger?
I think the main person's a first year.
No, the main person is, I think, a year
older. Well, that's what I was saying. I thought she was a second year.
The main character is a second year. The person who originally wanted to go, I thought, was a first year. But I think I got that because they were going to check the first year rooms when they didn't know who she was.
No, I'm pretty sure she's a third year.
So, and then the other person...
Yeah, she is, because she's been saving up forever.
Yeah.
It's a second year. Is the person that works at the shop, and then I don't know what
she's not any year.
Yeah.
Huh?
She doesn't go to school.
Yeah, but she's the equivalent.
Right. Yeah, the equivalent for second year. Then we have the idol.
The celebrity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who had no friends. But anyway, so it starts off, she wants to go on a journey with no destination. And she tries that and just fails.
I'm going to go to Flat the other part of town.
Fails.
Yeah.
Like even... So even that, she started to have a destination.
Trains are scary.
But the moment... Well, so she has this weird concept where she's going to go somewhere without having a destination. And so as she gets closer to doing that, the destinations sort of start to form, and then they just fall apart and they become a routine. And that's exactly right. That's exactly how that happens. And then she gets a destination. And then suddenly everything becomes she actually
solidifies.
Yeah, she almost goes back to her routine, but because she has a solid destination to go to, she meets her on the train to go look at the boat to go to Antarctica.
Yeah,
it's kind of like you know, there's a tree in the hole, and the hole's in the ground, and the green. So like you get all these steps, but you need to eventually know that you're going to end up with a with a nail in a shoe.
What?
You don't know?
No.
It's a song.
There's a nail in the shoe, and the shoe's on the leg, and the leg's on the flea, and the flea's on the feather, and the feather's on the chick, and the chick's in the egg, and the egg's in the nest, and the nest is on the twig, and the twig is on the branch, and the branches in the tree, and the tree's in the hole, and the hole's in the ground.
What?
You didn't know that?
No.
You're welcome. But you gotta know that it winds up with a nail in a shoe.
Congratulations.
You can't get there without knowing that that's where you're going. Like, you would have never...
Your day is now better and or worse.
Like, if you're going to start that song, and you only... So, basically, most people know that there's a tree, and then you can't get anywhere. You're like, and there's a branch.
There's a bird.
And the bird.
And the bird's now under hippo.
And see, it just falls apart. It goes nowhere.
It's now in Hogwarts.
It's now broken.
Hogwarts is under...
So that's like the first episode. The second episode, I forget what happens, and then the last episode.
The second episode, you're trying to be sexy and seduce the dudes.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
They talked about their boobs.
Yeah. So it's just there's deeper themes to every single one of the episodes. That's really subtle.
They talked about the boobs. Yeah, there's deeper themes that go into the
exactly. So it's fun.
I'm looking forward to when they reach Antarctica. Because right now, all they're focused on goal, and so after they get there, so do we like any of ourselves?
I think the premise is that they don't, and now since they're giving purpose, they'll find their purpose through the purpose. Yo, dog. They find the meaning through the purpose.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. There we go.
And like they were talking about how the second year genius, who's college level. It's just like, everyone else is the same, but you gals were different. And it was just like you were honest or something.
Who?
The shop senpai.
Oh.
Mm. Who we don't know much about. But she's the, you know, the one that in school, she's a genius. And she's just like, you know, everyone else comes in here. They're the same. I see people all day. I don't go to school. And then I saw you guys. And there's just something different about you. And the implied difference is that they have a purpose. Uh-huh. Purpose?
Yeah.
So... It'll be fun.
Poipus.
Fun to watch it unfold. They're going to get to know each other and themselves. And then they're going to discover that the mom is dead. And after that picture they took, I'm pretty sure they're going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That'll be such a dark twist.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I kept this journal, though, right until my last breath, which I'm taking...
Oh, my God.
So aside from that, we also watched Kokokokokokoro. Is that how you say it?
Kokoku.
Yep. See? The time stopping one.
The time stopping one.
Yes. So we got to hear a little bit more of the rules. That god thing has got two names depending on which people are worshipping it. So there's now two sects who are fighting over the main stone, which is the main character's family's stone.
Sects.
Sektsa.
Well, I don't think it's depending on who you ask. I think it's depending on who's lying to you.
Yeah. So basically, the cult, they knew that this what's the actual name of it now? It's not the Herald. It's the other thing. The Harbinger?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Harbinger. Yeah. They're like, all right, there's this thing called the Harbinger. We can make that into the god of this world and just fool people. But we can't call it that. Let's call it the Herald, because why use its actual name?
Because reasons, yeah.
Words of great power. Watch the magic... hello, from the Magic Tavern. And, yeah, so it's just... It's a conspiracy. It's like... it's actually... That was based in how they work, like, secret societies. Like, you get kind of, like... 30 to 40% of the truth as you get in. Like, it's kind of cool. Like, they're already in this world without time, so that, you know, it's not like it's not for nothing. But then that guy knows more, and they seem to be plotting something.
Someone who knows more.
Yeah, and it's really ambiguous too. They're like, why was it smaller? What? And, you know, as the audience member, I'm just like, huh? And they're like, let's run experiments with these people. That's why we hired them.
I think they were talking about the goons from the van who didn't know about.
They're gonna make them try to do something bad, which they are.
Well, I think they were talking about the ones who didn't know about the time stop, because they didn't know they're still frozen.
Oh, I didn't.
But I could be wrong.
Okay,
you are wrong.
I'll accept that. In this case.
Did they set up though the end of that episode well, like? Early in the episode, she's like, "Here, let's do a jump," and he's just like, "Well, I can do it. Try it. Oh, you can't. My grandpa couldn't either." And so she's suffocating to death, and, you know, I was expecting that to end with, you know, she'd blink out of existence, and there she is, her eyes rolling back into her sockets.
That'll teach her.
Literally, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And so I thought that it would end with her, you know, and that was it. And it's looking like she's going to be on the verge of death, and she's going to get something else that happens.
That's a cliffhanger that has too much potential to not have that happen with.
In the next episode preview, they said that something else is going to happen inside of her body. Like, she's going to get, like, because they're like, oh, that big thing is one of her ancestors.
I mean, so her eyes glow, so.
Yeah, so who knows what's going to, I don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't look like it's looking like, kind of like we said before, like people are going to have different powers, but now it looks like, you're a snowflake. You can jump through time. You can vaporize people.
Well, yeah, she seems to be the main character, so of course.
Yeah, show's over, guys. She died and then was probably raped. They were not subtle about that.
No. Yeah, no.
Don't leave semen behind.
Oh, God.
It's okay. There's a towel.
Yeah, so next thing...
Okay. Wow. What else did we
Do we have any other theories about that?
No, it's a world that'll just keep on expanding as we watch more, so we're just along for the ride.
What are their goals for this cult though?
We don't know yet.
They got the Master Stone.
They want to spread genuine love. Yeah, they have another stone.
That's what they
want. Oh yeah, they have that creepy cult name.
Genuine
love.
The rapists.
I mean, like, or something.
Heaven's
no,
sake.
No, those are the goons they hire.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Those are the goons of the cult, of the un...
Mm-hmm.
No, not even of the cult. They're just goons.
So, aside from all of that, we also have a mystery lady who's like a third party.
It's like it's been 17 years. Oh, yeah, and she was there already.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't like it.
Clearly in the same space as... young main character girl.
Mm-hmm.
In the same event.
Ooh.
So there'll be some story behind that.
Yeah.
And we'll find out as time goes along. What else has there been? Watch that.
Did you watch Darling in the Franxx?
Yes.
So what'd you think about that?
I'm gonna have to wait a few more episodes. It was, again, that just... First episodes tend to be bad for me. They just,
really?
They're trying too hard to lure people in. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it enough that I'm going to give it more shots.
I don't think they did a whole lot of, like, baiting with that. I think it was just, like, there was a lot of like atmospheric kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and then like a, just a huge battle robot scene.
Well, don't forget, this is also, it has many of my genres I don't like the sci-fi giant robot.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't focused on the robots. It was like the sort of Gurren Lagann style, spiral energy style, power up thing.
Yep, we'll see. Like I said, I'll keep giving it shots.
Yeah,
that's about all I can say for now.
The metaphor of like you can't. There's like this bird that
Boyd.
Boyd. There's a Boyd that it can only fly with another bird or something. It was really weird and probably only existed to create a metaphor for the show, but it was interesting nonetheless. And then you have all these the pilots who are paired with each other. And the main character, the main lady character, who is got these horns, and it's, I don't know if they implied or they outright said it, that she has monster blood.
Yes, she is part monster.
So yeah, that's gonna be interesting because like everyone that she's worked with so far has died somehow, whether it's like mysterious or just because she doesn't care.
I think it's just that they can't keep up.
Uh-huh.
That's what it was implied. And this guy, for whatever reason, seems to sync up well with her, so yeah.
Yeah, so I like that idea, too.
And that's about it for that. I think that might have been it.
So I watched more Basilisk,
uh-huh.
and they went into more detail about that, about how they're siblings,
mm-hmm.
and 'cause in the original, like, there were no children. It just, the bloodline ended. So there should be no people that carry it. And I like the way they told the story because you don't have to see the original to watch this. It's not like Boruto or something. But they did this thing that I like where it happened in the past, so and nobody who was part of it, like, everybody died in the end.
Yay!
So nobody knows, like, the actual story because lies were involved, and so there's, like, three different versions of the story and how it ended. And they go through a bunch of different variations on how the original story ended. And, nobody can agree on what really happened. It's kind of cool. I like it. But anyway,
Basilisk.
So some rando came up and dropped the two kids off, and he's like, "These are some kids I found. I want you to take care of them, and they're siblings, and raise them." So, if the incest thing wasn't bad enough as it is, now it's in question whether they're actually related because they were just basically Moses dropped off in the middle of the night. So there's that. And also, they went over what their eye powers were, And I got it completely wrong. I forget what I said the guy's power was last week, but I was way off. It was...
Yeah, you were.
Anybody who tries to attack him, they end up attacking either themselves or other people. So, like, all he has to do is like, use his eye power and stare at people, and he's basically invincible because his enemies will just kill themselves and everybody next to them. So, yeah. There's this scene where they're... him and the girl who has the eye powers, like, they're... I forget if they were attacking each other or if she was just, like, tripped and fell on top of him or something. But, like, their eyes met and, there was, like, this resonance where, they just looked at each other and it was, like, a feedback loop where, it kind of went into, like, an infinite, reaction thing. So he got freaked out and he's pulling a Sasuke, basically.
Boo.
Yeah. We'll see how it turns out, because he's not like a Sasuke character, but he's kind of brooding. But he's pulling a runner, so we'll see how that looked.
Sasuke sucks.
Oh, did you watch Hakare Tankotsu Ramens?
Not yet. I just actually saw it on Crunchyroll. It's finally up, so...
It's been up for a few days.
No.
Yes. I watched it on Crunchyroll.
I'll give it a watch later on today. I saw, Black Clover. I'm just gonna make it quick, because things are a little bit more fillery than they should have been. So we have the character that really loves to fight. He went off to find a couple of bad guys, and he is in a conundrum... But man, he'll get out of it. The episode ended with the Sasuke of this anime, you know, him and his team being in front of the door that contains all the magical artifacts and whatnot. And then the big bad boss shows up, takes out one of them. And so now it's Yuno and his senpai versus this new bad guy that has appeared. It's like, ooh, I'm bad. That's pretty much it. Nice fast. All right. I don't think there's anything else.
That's super quick.
Yep.
I also watched the second episode of Junji Ito Collection.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, it's much better than the first. They actually used a story that I already knew, which was nice. One, you'll find fun. They did what I wanted, and they did two 10-minute episodes. One... was basically the TLDR is a guy sees a really ugly model in a magazine, and it scares him and it haunts his dreams, and then
I'm already liking this.
It's he just gets really freaked out by her, and then they meet in real life, and stuff happens.
And they fall in love.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it's a one-sided love, I guess you could say, but she kind of shows it in a weird way.
Muni-chan.
No.
Daisuki-yo.
Well, the second half, yes. But she looks like a titan. but like more distorted.
Oh.
And she acts like a titan too.
Oh.
And then the other one is one that I've read before, where this guy goes to a hospital because he's having like this problem when he sleeps where lives out a long period of time in his dreams. So like one night it'll be like Like, he'll live out a full day of dreaming in his... Or a full day of life in his dreams. And then the next life, it'll be, like, 2 days. And then a month. And then a year. And then a year and a half. So every night gets longer and longer. And then it's, like, 200 years.
Is and a man dreaming to be a butterfly?
No.
Or a butterfly dreaming that he's a man?
It's a man...
They should make that.
It's a man living to be crazy.
But you know what I'm talking about, right?
No, what are you talking about?
It's one of the more famous Taoist things from Huangzi.
Oh.
Where he talked about how he was dreaming that he was a butterfly, doing all the butterfly stuff. Then he woke up and he was a man. And he was wondering, so right now, am I a butterfly dreaming to be a man? Or was I a man dreaming that he was a butterfly?
I remember that. I just couldn't pull it out of context. As that's going on, there's this, other girl in the hospital, and she's, like, abnormally afraid of death, to the point where she's just, like, sitting in her bed, and she's like, I'm gonna die. As the guy lives like longer and longer, like he's living like 200 years or dreaming 200 years, like his body starts to distort because he's like evolving as he sleeps, and like he's living like thousands and thousands of years over the course of a couple months until he eventually just becomes like a crystal man or something. And
he ends up on a Doctor Who episode.
He should. It wouldn't surprise me. In fact, there was one that was kind of like that, but not. Yeah, actually. I forget what it was called. Anyway, it was from like last season or something.
Have you been watching that by chance, Doctor Who?
Did the new season start?
I assume so, because I'm seeing a lot of things about how it finally jumped the shark.
The shark last season when he has a limited number of regenerations. Mm-hmm. And they already pulled a regeneration out of nowhere, and then they did it again just so that they could turn him into a girl. So, yeah, that was the shark jumping moment.
Hmm.
They also did it for basically no reason.
Hmm.
He didn't die.
So all the stuff I've been seeing, has it been because of that, or has it been
because he was kind of old, though?
Oh, he had
just been old age.
He was old, but not like
dead, his first incarnation old. Even
well, there was one incarnation where he died of old age, and it was he lived for like 500 years or something.
Maybe he did that. Nick,
he just sat in a house for like 500 years. No, it was well, I guess you never know, but it wasn't that. It was reasons.
Your reasons.
Enough about that.
Yeah, that's enough for the second infusion. I guess we'll tune in next week. We'll talk to you. Here, we'll talk to you next week.
No.
Bye.
We still got Magus Bride and we got Super.
Oh.
I think there's something else, too. Did I forget something?
No, we can bring it in next week.
No, I guess not.
Ancient Magus Bride was another, it didn't go where I expected it to go. Welcome to the Ancient Magus Bride, though.
I don't even remember what happened.
I don't either. What happened?
So what happened last time on Magus Bride is she was transformed into a fox, leaving you as the viewer to wonder what was going to happen. The first 30 seconds was her running away. Then, as the shadow, the dog version of Ainsworth said, "I need you." And she said, "Okay," in her human form. And that was that with the fox thing. You found out that the fox pelt they get to keep, and she can have that as a power later on, and she's like, I don't think I want to.
We'll never see that again, I bet.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And
and then the slutty vampire showed up. It's like, my human's dying.
Yeah, and then she spent the entire episode...
My human's dying because I killed him.
Yeah. And so then she spent the entire episode making this thing that humans aren't supposed to make and definitely are not supposed to apply to other humans so that she could give it to another human. So they do that. The slutty vampire and the guy have kind of a moment before he disappears into nothing. And then the king of the fairies comes to tell her off because she shouldn't have done that. He's like, all right, I'm going to need the rest of that ointment you did. And she says, okay. Hands it to him. The ring controlling her magic breaks, and then she vomits blood.
Yay!
That was the weirdest cliffhanger ever. That was out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was just RKO out of nowhere. Like, whoa, that didn't even escalate. That just started moving quickly. Like, we were going zero, and then suddenly, what?
It was a teleportation.
Yeah, let's find out next week.
Not even an acceleration.
Yeah, and so that's enough for the second infusion. Find out next week.
Nope.
What about Dragon Ball? Why do you want to end
What is
this?
Everyone's problem with the episode? Both of you. It was a fantastic episode.
It was okay.
I don't want... I'm
Speak!
Fine with talking about Dragon Ball.
Speak!
So Vegeta had a transformation. That was cool.
Yeah!
Except it wasn't.
Why?
Because he transformed into Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan Blue, Super Saiyan into Super Saiyan God. Super
he transformed
Saiyan.
Into Royal Blue. Actually, the literal name of the shade of blue that he's using is called Royal Blue.
Lame. No.
Yes?
Lame. I mean, maybe, but, like, yeah, lame.
Why?
Because it literally didn't change at all. First of all, his power-up was... Usually, every time there's a transformation, it's pretty cool. Like, it's minutes long sometimes. This was literally just, like, Goku had as much screen time as he did.
This is the first time
Vegeta... Actually,
this is the first time Vegeta has had a power-up that was thanks to other people and not because of his own selfish desires. Which is what makes this moment so special.
Is that why he fit in the last second? I'm going to keep my promise. Yes. I'm about to transform. And I'm going to do it my way!
He's going to do it his way of keeping his promise to somebody else.
Uh-huh.
So that's what makes it so special. Did you hear the music when they were playing with that? Just like all the sentiment, like...
This is okay. It was pretty okay.
You're both awful Scotsmen.
I'm the only Scotsman here.
Yeah,
I think 17 and
Gohan Urusu.
Gohan was a much better moment than that.
Now that's the only thing I'll disagree with you on. Next week's episode was completely around them, and I'm like, and nobody cares about that fight.
What?
Like, so Vegeta transforms, and my main qualm with it is similar to yours in that it didn't take much screen time, but I really didn't feel like, you know, so, like, I can intellectually break it down, like, okay, he seems like he's on par with Goku, Super Saiyan Blue Kaioken, and that's, I mean, a feat.
Yeah.
But, like, Goku Kaioken doesn't equal a Super Saiyan.
No.
Woo, good transformation. You know, like, I want to feel that power, you know? Like, it's a slightly different shade.
It didn't have a feeling that anything happened or changed.
We just have not had the opportunity to feel
right,
it
and that's what I want, you know? Like, so I'm waiting for the next episode. I'm like, I want this transformation to matter.
I'm okay because, yet again, they're doing something different. They're not slapping us in the face. We're like, oh, God, this is so much more powerful than everything. Now we're just like, we have to see how much more powerful this is.
They have the perfect villain for this, though.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if it's, like, this world-breaking transformation. He'll probably still not be as good as Jiren.
Right.
Well, but they can still have that moment like, oh, my gosh, that's really powerful. And then, you know, whatever, Goku will Kaioken a few times more. You know, 5 times 10 times 11, oh!
Well, he's got limits to that, so...
Yeah, he does, and he's going to probably die, I don't know. But still, it's like, they rushed, they attacked, and I didn't really feel it much, you know? Like, that's nice that it's royal blue, and I'm glad that someone Googled that, but, you know, to the eye, it wasn't... It was kind of the equivalent. So this is this to their credit, this is right. My theory was it was going to be basically Super Saiyan Blue V2, Super Saiyan 2 Blue, if you will. Uh-huh. And the difference visually between 1 and 2 outside of the Cell fight is not that big to me, you know?
Yeah.
So great, they didn't overdo it. That's good. But when Goku transformed Super Saiyan, whoa, big difference. When Gohan went Super Saiyan 2, huge difference. I felt that for years.
Super Saiyan 3 wasn't that big.
Even 4 got it more right than this. And, you know, it's just like, okay, good job. Though, it made me wonder. So the Saiyans aren't really the type of people who would just be like, well, they're royalty, let's worship them. I've kind of had this running theory where Super Saiyan 3 might be like a bloodline limit. Because Bardock and Goku, their hair transformation's the same. And there's subtle differences even in 4 between Vegeta and Goku. And it's not even implied, it's canon that this is a genetic Saiyan thing, this particular transformation. So what I've been kind of waiting for, and you know, it being called Royal Blue might address this, is that there's something special to being a Saiyan elite bloodline. Like different tracks of superness. Different evolution paths. And I honestly want to see Vegeta rise up and claim right to the throne, you know?
But it actually would not have been right if Vegeta just began curb stomping Jiren, because even all
the No, I don't want him to curb stomp.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why they have the perfect thing. They, you know,
Yeah, Topo.
Well, he could have curb stomped Topo. That wouldn't have mattered. But what I mean is, like, you know, if he punched Jiren and Jiren all of a sudden gets really serious, they made a bigger deal about him being a warrior before he did it. Like, Jiren calls him a warrior. That's a honor. And it's like, okay, yeah. I get that. And I kind of, that I felt a bit. But it's same. It's the exact same. You made a deeper color, you know?
Goku's transformation looked way cooler.
And, you know, he was sentimental. That was nice. But that's a character transformation. That's not a Super Saiyan transformation.
Right, yeah.
And so that's my major qualm with it. And so finally the episode ends, and I'm like, all right, you know, let's get on to the next episode. I guess we're just going to tease this one out, and that's fine.
They've been doing that. And they're like,
Gohan and Android 17. Oh. Fuck!
Also, real quick, John, spell qualm.
Qualm?
Yes.
CQK.
That's wrong! Nick, spell qualm.
QUALM?
Ah, LM! He knew of the silent L.
You knew of the silent L, wow.
Yeah.
It's not silent, you're just lazy.
Did you see that episode?
Which one?
Hey Arnold?
Yeah.
That's what I was referencing.
It's a good reference.
Did you see the episode?
No.
No, you didn't.
I didn't have a child.
But you somehow still were able to spell it. Someone's lying here. All right, back to Super. I personally enjoyed it, especially with the music.
I did
and
too.
Just the sentiment.
Just didn't like the transformation.
Vegeta's still my favorite character, so just seeing that, like...
So I thought of an excuse to justify how cool it was before I got here.
Goku's my favorite character, and I just wanted to see him, Vegeta, be relevant again.
Yeah.
It was just seeing the transformation match up with the character transformation is just... It was nice to me. The music just fit him really well. And fit him with the idea of Vegeta's problems, that he's way too wound up and just focused on himself. And he used that to break through his own barrier.
Oh.
Much like how Goku was just way too loosened up.
He's awesome.
And, you know, the fucking spirit bomb being blown up in his face kind of
got a little more
serious.
I was also really hoping... So I had this moment when they were at the... They did... Now they have that stupid pre-show thing. I really don't like that.
I hate that.
It's awful.
You need to stop that.
Apparently, Super's always had it. It's only recently Crunchyroll began doing it.
Oh, well, thanks Crunchyroll and Obama.
Damn it, Obama!
So
he's still doing stuff?
Yes.
He's still ruining things? Wow.
What brought it to mind is that someone just brought up the Vine where he, you know, Obama goes to dunk a cookie into the milk. He's like, and the cookie doesn't fit into the cup. And he's just, thanks, Obama. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. At the beginning of the episode, it was Vegeta. And he's just like, I will demonstrate the power that is all mine that is totally different than Kakarot's. I was really hoping it was going to be Ultra Instinct. Like, and he just calls it, you know, Saiyan Pride. Or, you know, like, it's totally different than Ultra Instinct Kakarot's power.
That would have been gay.
That would have been quite bad. But there was this hope. And it wasn't, I mean...
So other stuff that's going on. Apparently Frieza doesn't care about knockoff Beerus that much.
Not at all.
That's all you have, huh?
Yeah, just brush that one off. That's your power? Thought that was gonna hurt me? Well, nah. Though she goes golden next episode. So that's something else that we can mm-hmm. look forward to with equal excitement as Vegeta's new power-up.
And he'll be teaming up with Gohan.
Maybe.
And then Gohan will about to be eliminated, and Frieza's going to step in the way of the blast. You were the only one who showed me what it means to have a friend.
That is his MO, by the way. Let's not forget that Piccolo is literally the evil sucked from Kami's soul's son. And, you know, he stepped in front and it was just like, he learned friendship that day.
You know, I think for Fighters DLC, they should have some old characters like King Piccolo.
They have Nappa, might as well.
Nappa!
Played character.
No, it's got to be movie characters and super characters.
You know, Broly. Super characters for Broly. Yeah.
There's no way it's got to be.
All right, we'll continue this fight off the air. So join us next week, when we discuss similar shows and things and anime and computers and nerd stuff. And write us. Bye.
I'm not afraid to